there! You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we're talking with Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension for Polk and Marion Counties. I'm hoping this name sounds familiar to our listeners, as Haley is one of the three hosts in this collaboration that is Conservation Spotlight. So today, Haley is on the other side of the table as the interviewee. Haley has been working with OSU Extension for 2 years. I'm excited to introduce Haley with everyone on the podcast today about her work with OSU Extension. So a big welcome to you, Haley.
Thank you for having me. It's fun to be on the other side of it. I'm excited to chat with you.
Before you began working solely with OSU Extension, your time was split with Polk SWCD. So that's how we initially met. And I remember when I was interviewing for my position, you were on the panel, and one of the questions you asked me was, what is your favorite outdoor activity? I thought, gosh, I hope I get this job and that she'll want to be my friend. And it all worked out because now we're colleagues and friends.
Well, I too am very glad it worked out. I could tell in the interview you'd be a person I'd want to work with. And who hasn't been in an interview process where you get question after question and you're already kind of stressed or nervous? And I also think that question offers a lot of insight into a person and allows them to kind of relax, and you get to see a little more of their genuine interest show up. Yeah. So it's something I saw, and obviously as an outreach coordinator. You're an outreach coordinator for the Polk SWCD, so of course we have a connection. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky to have gotten to work with you.
Yes. So as hosts, we get to ask all the questions, but I thought it would be fun to put you on the other side of the mic so our listeners can get to know you better. So if you could, please share a little bit about yourself, your educational background, and what drove you toward a career in agriculture?
Sure. So great question. I actually grew up on the other side of the state in Eastern Oregon and was lucky enough to grow up on a small farm. So I was very involved in agriculture. I participated in things like 4-H and FFA when I was younger. And I really found a love for growing things and especially being around animals, which I still have to this day. When I went to school, went to university for ag education and later for animal science, because I really found connection with non-formal education. I don't know about you, but I can get a lot out of a classroom setting, and I think it has its place. But my favorite, most memorable, the easiest way for me to learn is by doing with my hands, being out in the environment and participating, also learning alongside others, because I get a lot out of that as well. Like, we can learn from each other. And I'm just a very social person. Mm-hmm. And I like to be around others, be outside, work with my hands, that sort of thing. And so that I naturally gravitated towards extension. And it also helped growing up. We had a neighbor who worked for OSU Extension in animal science. And I would go over to his farm frequently because he would have piglets. That was also a big draw. Like, this guy gets to work with farmers. He gets to have piglets. Yeah. And it's a dream world. So I don't have my own piglets or anything like that. But I love being around animals and people who also like those
kind of pets. I mean, I've heard that pigs can be good pets for the home too.
You know, I'm not, I don't know if I would have a pig in my home. I mean, other people do, but they're extremely, extremely smart animals, and they're fun. But just in general, I love livestock. That's mostly my background, so that tends to be my focus. But I have a small farm, so I do a little bit of everything, which is also another reason why I really enjoy it.
Thank you. For those that may be unfamiliar, in general, what role does OSU Extension play in the community?
Sure, and this is something that I've been surprised by, just because I grew up in a community where specific community of being in agriculture, so I have been familiar with ex OSU extension in general for a long time, but it's not something that the general audience always knows about. So I'll give you a little bit of a background why extension is here today. I believe it happened maybe around the Dust Bowl period, where they really needed to get out some principles about farming that researchers and scientists knew about, but it was hard to get into that community. Farming, agriculture, especially back then, was very, very tight-knit. Didn't necessarily want outsiders coming in. And so what they would do to get out new research and new technology, things like that, is they started youth groups. So it kind of started with 4-H of, hey, let's have these kids' activities. Ways for parents can get a little bit of a break, but also a great way to engage youth, teach them things about, maybe it's growing tomatoes or raising animals, things like that. And what do those kids do? They bring it home, they have conversations around the dinner table or out working on the farm. And so that's kind of how they connected with the community at first, was in that way. So now many people may have heard of 4-H or been to the county fairs that we have. But we are much more than that. So, we're rooted in agriculture and youth programming, but we have many different topics and areas of expertise. So, the big three are agriculture, family, consumer science, and our 4-H program. We also do work in forestry in our coastal communities. We have like the Sea Grant program. There's a lot of different avenues, also non-traditional 4-H programs like robotics and computer science and one of my colleagues is actually leading a gaming camp for kids where they can do
Wow.
things like role playing and
Amazing.
Dungeons and Dragons, all
Yeah.
these different games that also bring together a lot of other interesting things. But I'm in agriculture, I do small farms. But I guarantee you, we have somebody who is an expert or can find an expert on a topic that you have a question on.
Haley, your role at OSU Extension is Small Farms Outreach Coordinator. For a little bit of context, what is considered a small farm?
Another great question. You really did your research, Morgan. So, here at OSU Extension and in my programming, I don't necessarily have a set of metrics of this is a small farm. So, when people call me, I'm not asking for acreage or number of animals or income or how you sell your products, if you have products, things like that. Technically, I believe the USDA, through their programming, their parameters, have set an annual gross income of less than 250,000, and that is considered a small farm. With OSU Extension, with my programming, you have a question. I feel like people typically kind of self-identify themselves as, "Hey, I find myself for my property, what we do, our operation is more of a small farm. I'm going to call a small farms coordinator." Versus some of the larger farms or people with really specific commodities, say our big hazelnut farmers or grass seed folks, they're going to call their technical expert in their field. So we have, crop specialists, we have orchard crop specialists at the university level, things like that. But it's just a very different audience. And small farmers tend to just identify themselves and find their way to the small farms for.
Yeah, so you said you're from Eastern Oregon, which is a very different landscape than Western Oregon. And I, like many people here, am a transplant. And one of the things that drew me to the Willamette Valley is the diversity of agriculture. Can you share with our listeners about the variety of things grown here in the Willamette Valley? And why it's so attractive for new farmers.
I could, we would be here all day because the The Willamette Valley, maybe not all day, but a few hours, because the Willamette Valley is the most agriculturally diverse region in Oregon, and probably for most of other places as well. I think we have, according to USDA, over 170 different agriculture commodities, and that list is ever growing as we have new research, farmers get more technology, you know, we have greenhouses, hoop houses, things are changing. But for just a sample, some of our well-known ones, you know, we have a lot of diverse vegetables, Oregon berries are very famous, our hazelnuts are famous, wine grapes, we have a lot of tree fruit, we are a huge grass seed producer here in the valley. You know, we have a variety of meat as well, dairy products, Christmas trees, big nursery area for, you know, plant nurseries, a few more uncommon ones. Did you know that we can produce olive oil here in Oregon?
I did. I have been to an olive farm, and it was really cool to see.
Yes. Is it the one in Polk County?
Yes.
It's amazing. So it's kind of a new thing, relatively new. And there's a small group of growers. And when I say small, it's just comparative to say California. But we have some different environment here, but you know, OSU actually has a project called the Olea Project where they're working on research to make, you know, producing olives and olive oil, more feasible here in Oregon. So that's an interesting one. Lavender is also a relatively, I mean, we've had lavender, but have a new buzzword. There's some lavender farms that we have in Willamette Valley. A lot of cut flowers, which I personally really like because how beautiful and what a great backdrop for photos and things. Hops, I don't know if you're a fan of that. We also we have those that are grown in the valley. But not to mention all the other value-added products that come from farms. So things like honey, jams, jellies, pickles, eggs. I mean, we have so many products, and small farmers are notoriously creative. So definitely check it out. We also have a lot of tours. So I believe it is there's a various farm loops for different counties, but it's worth checking out. It's usually a loop where they have some info on various farms, restaurants, agritourism activities that you can do in the area. So if you're a listener and you want to explore more of our small farms, that's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Willamette Valley in terms of the climate and the soil makes it so good for farmers?
Sure, that's a good one. Our soil is really amazing. We have very fertile, rich soil that makes growing things great. I mean, I also get a lot of complaints from farmers about having very clayey soil. So I know that can be a frustration for people, but in general, our soils are very rich. We also don't get quite as cold as other regions. I mean, I think yesterday I was just complaining to you about how chilly I was. but in general, we don't get those really long, those long periods where it's very cold, it's freezing. You know, we get some here and there. But in general, it's pretty good. And then just the Willamette Valley is a pretty mild area and it's just really gorgeous. So who doesn't want to move? I mean, we both moved here, but
I know.
It's a gorgeous area to be, can be a great place to farm, but there's also some challenges that come along with that, which we can discuss later.
Just a quick update. If you're just joining us, I'm here with Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension, and you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. All right, Haley. So since this is Conservation Spotlight, it's important to note the connection. What role does agriculture play in conservation?
Sure. So many of the people who get into farming tend to have a really deep connection with the land and the environment. And that's something I find when I work with people. And I think farmers can play a really critical role in conservation at different levels. Some ways that the farmers I work with might support conservation on their farms or in the area. Some people choose to do no-till or reduced tilling with their farms to, you know, maintain and help with soil health and structure.
Other things might be fencing riparian areas. So riparian areas are, the areas along waterways, the banks of streams, things like that. If you have livestock or just certain, certain practices can lead to erosion. And just in general, riparian areas are very sensitive to erosion in those areas. And so many of my farmers really want to build up that area. So they might fence it from livestock to reduce erosion that way, or add native plants, or just be mindful about those areas, and even buffer zones where they plant, say, grass and things like that, to kind of protect waterways, reduce runoff, things like that. Other examples, cover crops. Cover crops are a big thing that's done in this area, and cover crops help to add a ton of nutrients back into the soil. They're also great for pollinators and wildlife. Again, pollinator habitats, hedgerows are a great thing, and a lot of farmers do that. But in general, farms can provide some diversity and are great, which is a great resource for pollinators. And I've been to several farms that even have wildlife habitats set up. So some farms will have maybe preserved oaks or some buffer zones where they love wildlife, and they want to have plenty of space for them as well. And just in general, really connected to soil health too. I mean, we love what we do. Most farmers, any that I talk to, love what they do, and they love their environment. And so I think they go hand in hand.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I know that you are a very busy person. You have a lot of fun programs and events coming up. Could you talk a little bit about what you do as the small firm's outreach coordinator?
Definitely. So number one, I'm a resource for small farmers in the area. So I frequently have questions come in via call, email, walk into our offices with questions. It might be a problem you're having on the farm. I do a lot of weed identification. If you have a certain weed that's real pesky, I mean, I know things like blackberry, tansy ragwort. Any area has weeds. That's one thing I handle a lot too. But any question that comes in under a small farm umbrella usually goes to me. So happy to help people with technical advice and questions that they might have. I also put on a lot of programming. So some examples are classes in certain areas. For instance, we have different levels for farmers. We have What Can I Do With My Small Farm, which is for people who are brand new, maybe even before they have access to land, which often is a good idea to do, but kind of just talks through the options and kind of those really important questions that you need to ask in your planning process, which can set you on the right path when you want to start a small farm. We also have growing farms, which is for people that are in their first two to five years of farm business to really build their business. Now we're getting a little deeper on business planning, financials. We go on farm tours, we talk to farmers. And we also have things like Living on the Land, which we just held this fall, which is a 5-part series for new rural landowners or land managers. So that might be more, you don't necessarily have to have a big farm business, but maybe just in general, you want to learn more about protecting riparian areas, your well water, your septic systems, or how to kind of work with wildlife versus against it on your property. So we have a lot of different classes and a lot of different subjects.
I know that you pull in a lot of great resources and partners for these events. Can you share with us some of those entities that you work with?
Sure. Well, shout out to Polk SWCD and our other soil and water conservation districts. I love pulling in others because not only is it great to collaborate and bring other people and different subjects together, but it's great for our farmers and the clients who, the more resources they have to work with, the better. They're also just great partners, and they also happen to have a lot of great information and resources on the conservation side. So they're fantastic to work with. Great people. Friends of Family Farmers is another close partner of ours, and that might sound familiar. A few months ago, I interviewed Alice Morrison with Friends of Family Farmers. They do a lot of work on the ground with farmers, especially around land access, where they do a lot of classes and a lot of work at the legislature. So they are really pushing. They are a champion for small farmers and getting some legislation changes there. Others that I work with, Chemeketa Community College is another one.
Last year, we held the first small farm social, which I thought was really fun. What I've noticed is farming can be very isolating. And with everything that's gone on, which I'll get into maybe a little bit later, connection is more important than ever. You know, we had a pandemic, we had a lot of weather-related disasters, and it's just hard to be a farmer. So sometimes it's really nice for people to be able to get together and just connect. But we tied it together with a kind of a meet your service provider. So it was an event where they could come, be together, eat some free food, and then just walk around and mingle with our local community partners and those that work in conservation, agriculture, things like that. Other events that we have coming up, in case you're interested, on the 25th of this month in January, we have a renewable energy option for rural landowners. That is a webinar. It's free, and it just kind of goes through the options. If you've ever been interested in adding things like solar or wind energy to your farm or your rural property, on February 18th is our statewide Small Farms Conference. That's another great one. That'll be in Corvallis, but it's open to anybody. We even get folks from Washington and other states. And in late February, there will be a hands-on blueberry pruning workshop. Again, it's that hands-on learning that I really love. And so we'll be on farm learning how to prune blueberries, and we'll have a session in English and one in Spanish. And some resources that we have. I know this is getting a little long. Sorry, I just have so much to
No,
share.
I love it. Keep going.
All right, so we have an online catalog, OSU Extension does, and this covers all those topics I mentioned earlier. So everything from family consumer science, health and nutrition, agriculture, forestry. There's a whole online catalog with publications that are written in plain language for people. A lot of home and gardening as well, weeds. So that's a great place to go if you ever have a question. You can give me a call, you can send me an email. We're on social media, and we also have a farmer-to-farmer email network. So if you're a farmer in the valley and you're looking to connect with other farmers and you kind of have a question and you'd like to hear from other farmers on their experiences, we also have that too. Lots going on.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Haley. I know you said you get a lot of questions and you do site visits, people looking for advice. What are some of the biggest challenges that farmers and landowners are facing right now?
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. It's more like, what aren't they facing right now, especially? Not that anyone's gone into farming for an easy career, but right now it's extremely challenging. Land access is incredibly tough, even just finding land that's affordable. And then, not to mention all the weather-related disasters we've been having. So, just a few weeks ago, we had some really prolonged rain, lots of flooding. And that was combined with wind. So a few farmers, and I'm sure it was more than a few, but a few that I know lost their like hoop houses. The wind took those down. How about the ice storm we had a few years ago, the heat dome? It's getting harder and harder with climate change. Not to mention, during the pandemic, it was tough. Inflation. So if prices have increased for you, they've increased for farmers. All of the costs for their inputs have gone up, and rental costs. Also, things like navigating regulations and changes through legislature, insurance. Insurance can be really tough and very expensive for farming. There's just so many things that our small farmers are having to be up against.
Well, thank you so much for, providing all these great events and resources, to help face the challenges that farmers are experiencing right now. Haley, you are a natural at your job. You're a people person. Tell me, what do you enjoy most about outreach?
Yes, I love people. I love agriculture. I love being outside. And so this is really a great fit for me. I just love hearing people's stories, especially their successes, but even their challenges, so I can learn more about their needs. And I think just the small farm community itself is really special. And again, there's always room to grow and continue. But for example, the Small Farm Social is really heartwarming to see farmers connect with each other, lift each other up. And yeah, it's a big part of why I love my job.
So what advice do you have for new farmers?
Sure. Research, research, research.
Ooh.
I
Can't stress that enough. And it's at any stage that you're at in your farming. So if you are just thinking about it, really get to know. We have a great resource in the catalog called What Should I Do with My Small Farm? And has a lot of questions on you know, what are your resources, what are your skills? Thinking about what you want to do before you buy your land, because your land, your soil class, there might be some restrictions on what you can grow and do. Also understanding more about, you know, are you wanting to have employees? Is this something that you and your family are going to do? Does your family want to do it? Back in the day, I really hated moving pipes and I wish my dad would have asked me before, but it builds character, but it's a really good thing to know, you know, making sure your family's on board. But at any stage, again, before you do your crops, get your soils tested. That tells you a lot. Just do your research. And the ways you can do that is by reaching out to your service providers, people like OSU Extension, your Polk SWCVs, your watershed councils. Get to know your local resources, connect with them, but also connect to your local farming community. Farmers learning from other farmers is really, really valuable. And again, I mentioned it before, farming can be isolating. So just being a part of your local farming community, creating community, I think is a great idea. And also having a good relationship with your neighbors. I know that there can be some issues there and you can't always start off on the right foot if there's some other things going on, but making friends, because there'll be several times where people will be like, oh, I couldn't find anybody to, you know, maybe it's bale my hay or reseed my pasture, but I got to know a neighbor down the road who has some equipment and you work out kind of, you know, a trade, or there's just a lot of things that you can learn from your very hyper local community. So I think that's important.
Yeah. You've mentioned the catalog for resources with OSU Extension. And I'm wondering, how can people get connected to those resources and all of your upcoming events?
Sure. The best place to hear about our new resources, events, partner events is our monthly newsletter. So we have a monthly newsletter and I pack that thing full of any events we're doing, any statewide events, regional events, our partners, there's new articles or maybe new legislative changes or grant opportunities, anything like that, I'm going to put it in our newsletter. Also, we have social media for those who use it. Our Facebook page is OSU Mid-Valley Small Farms. And our Instagram is OSU Small Farms. MWV, as in Mid Willamette Valley. So those are great places to seek out events and things like that. And the Farmer to Farmer email network I mentioned earlier is a great place for farmers to connect with other farmers.
Thanks, Haley. Hope you all check out OSU Mid Willamette Valley on Instagram and Facebook. So to close, what is one change you would encourage people to make in relation to your work?
Sure. So I mentioned some advice for farmers. So this one's more for the folks listening on the radio who, you know, might not be as tapped into our small farms community. But for you, you listeners, support our local farms. Again, I mentioned how challenging it is. They need our support, but also you get access to the best the Willamette Valley has to offer. Freshest, best produce and products available. And so the ways you can do that is by supporting them. A lot of farms have on-farm sales. They go to our farmers markets. You can do things online. A lot have CSAs, community supported agriculture, where you can get a monthly subscription with things that are in season. They're a fabulous way to get to know our products here or our commodities that are grown here, connect with your farms. I mean, they even have delivery. You can be online. If you're a person who has social anxiety and you don't want to go to a farm, you can get things online and it'll be dropped to your door. But also, if that's not in your budget, or maybe you don't have the room to eat that many veggies or fresh fruit in a week, et cetera, another great way to support farms by supporting them on social media, sharing them with your friends and family. So like their posts, share their posts, comment on their posts, let them know you're out there and you want to support them. So don't forget about our small farmers when you are looking for some great food and other products.
Well, Haley, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to sit down and chat with you, like always.
Of course. Happy to be here. And I'm looking forward to our conversation next month when I get to put you in the hot seat.
Oh, looking forward to that too. I've been talking with Haley White about OSU's Small Farms program and all the resources out there for farmers in the Willamette Valley. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for Polk SWCD. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on any of these topics, please visit our website, polkswcd.com, and our Facebook page for follow-up information. Also, on our website, you'll find information about upcoming events like volunteering with the Confederated Tribes of Grand Bronze Native Plant Nursery on January 20th, Polk County's local work group meeting at the Shemekada Eola Northwest Wine Study Center on January 27th, and our Native Trees and Shrub Sale in West Salem on February 3rd and 4th. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. On the next episode, as Haley mentioned, you'll hear from both of us again as we switch roles, and I'll be in the hot seat this time. So thank you everyone for listening and your light shining.